LinuxLink Tech Show. The LinuxLink Tech Show is on. Your link to the latest in GNU Linux and technology. 2 hours of insightful guests, tech info, and playful banter. Free software, free speech, open source, open mics. Live from the LinuxLink Tech Show studio, here are your hosts, Dan, Alan, Pat, and Link. Link it up, and take it away. Take it away.
This monstrous bug just landed on Dan's shoulder, and I think he took a bite out of Dan's shoulder, but he didn't feel anything.
I'm too numb from the black and tan.
So we're here, another week in Dan's empty house.
Yeehaw.
This is the last week you will see this rug.
Getting ripped out?
Getting ripped out on Monday.
So he says, right?
Yeah, he says.
Hey, if you come next week and the rug's not replaced, we're in trouble. That's the way it goes.
So, welcome everybody to another episode of the Linux Link Tech Show. This is episode 154?
Yep.
154.
Sounds good to me.
Oh, lot of episodes.
Oh, lot of episodes. And we have a very special guest with us. We have Christian Linard, who is a developer of Demo Recorder. He's talking to us all the way from Salzburg, Austria. Christian, welcome to the show.
Hello everybody, and thanks for inviting me to the show. If you hear me talking a bit funny, that's because English is not my mother tongue, and I hope you understand it nonetheless.
Well, that's the same problem we have with most Americans, so go right ahead.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about Demo Recorder, why you wrote it, and what are your goals and what are your aims of the project?
Okay, Demo Recorder is a screen recorder for Linux with sound recording and exporting to multiple formats. It has a long history. It started as a contracting project in 1997. It was for a special application for a command center of a railway system. The customer wanted to record everything which happened on the screens. He had workstations with multiple screens there. It ran on Spark, 20 stations, I think. And the aim was to do long-term recording for logging purposes and for educational purposes. The project was then stalled for some time because of me being occupied with a lot of other things, and they reactivated it for the same railway system again. And I always had also the dream of addressing more the general public and market with this product. And I started this project in 2004. I did it for some time full-time, now I'm again part-time working on Demo Recorder.
Now, are you doing this, mm-hmm. Did you say you're doing this on your own, or was this a work project?
First, it was a project which I was contracted for in 1997. By a small company, and the small company sold licensed it to a big company which did the railway system stuff. The small company went out of business, so later I did it directly with the big company. It always was I did it always as a business, as a self-employed person. And back then, in 1998, I managed to keep the rights on this software, which was good. So I had the opportunity to provide this technology for a broader audience, like I do now.
You kind of lucked out on that, though, didn't you?
Pardon?
You kind of lucked out on that they gave you the rights to distribute, or the rights for the project.
Yeah, it was clever negotiating. The original contract stated that first they only get the non-exclusive rights, and they just have an option to get exclusive rights. And because of this small company going out of business, they never had the chance to buy the exclusive rights.
Wow, that's pretty
cool. So I kept the rights. And it really was my intention to keep the rights. So that's also the reason why I negotiated it like this originally.
Because in the United States, if you go work for a company and you develop code, unless it's agreed upon up front, the company pretty much owns everything that you write for them. That's a standard practice.
Yeah, it's the same here if you're an employee, but I didn't do it as an employee, but as a contractor. And there was a pricing issue, so and they had to do it very fast, so they had a lot of time pressure, and they didn't have enough money to really pay the development costs, so I said, okay, I make it for a cheaper price, but I keep the rights. And you have the option to buy exclusive rights later if you have the money. But I didn't have it. So I kept the rights. It's usually here, it's also, if you do contracting work, that you give away the exclusive rights, but there is always room for negotiation. And you have to use it. And I also think that for a developer, it's really much better feeling if you keep the rights of the code. I also worked as an employee, and also now I work as an employee too. And there I give away the rights of the code, and it really reduces motivation. And I think that's also one of the things that many people many developers write open source code or start their own shareware projects because they really want to have control over their code.
Now, you said you wrote this originally for railway system. Was this monitoring the rail system, like switching, that kind of thing, where, you know, somebody in a control room would watch, you know, the rail system, the trains going through the system? And was this through a government agency?
Yeah, no, it's not a government agency. It's for a subway system for big towns. And it was sold through a big company. They sell a complete railway system. I'm not allowed to say which company it is. And the system is they have diagrams on the screens where you see where a train currently is, and you can I think also operate the junctions and things like that.
Now, when was the first commercial release of this where you owned it? How long ago was that?
There are actually two commercial releases. One was in, I guess it was end of 2003. It was also for this railway system. They already owned it. I sold licenses to this big company, and they sold it to their customer. And for the broad market, as the product demo recorder, it was mid of 2005. So it's online for a year now. It started as a technical preview, and on I added some features which are vital for the market, such as sound recording or export filters. So in the current shape, it's online since February 2006. So for a few months, so it's really for the general market, it's really a new product. Also, the technology exists for a longer time.
So you said you started developing this back in 1997?
Yeah, right. I developed it on the Linux and delivered it for Solaris.
So this is a pretty mature project.
Yeah, the core technology is very mature. I just added features and stuff after that, so the sound recording is a very new feature. Also, the export filters is a very new feature, so the customer didn't need any export filters. They just used the playback feature using the internal demo recorder format, which is for this command center application, the internal format is much better suited because it uses much less space than other video formats. And also support for some extensions has been added, so the shape extension was not used by this customer, and therefore I didn't implement it back then. So it really, to get the product for the niche market, which it was back then to a broader audience, was really lots of work. Although the central stuff was already there.
Now you mentioned that your original intentions for this software were for the small company that you were contracting for was to just record their regular work activities. Like what exactly? What exactly was the original intention, other than to make demonstrations? Because I know that where I work, we have some legal issues surrounding our calling for insurance companies and stuff like that, and we had to use a program which will not only record everybody's screen motions, but also their voice to go along with it. So, is that kind of something that mm-hmm. What you were doing there?
Well, back then, I really wasn't told what the exact application was. I just was told what features they used. I heard that they use it for educational purposes, but also I think they have to log everything. So in case that something goes wrong with the system, they can reconstruct what the operator did. And
that's really interesting, because back in the 90s when you started that, mm-hmm. hard drive space, was an issue back then. It's not like today where you can go out and for $900 you can get a terabyte file server.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Definitely. So the size of the recordings was a very important thing.
So what codec did you originally use to record the files into?
It's a proprietary format. So the codecs used for general video are not well suited for screen recordings.
Was this a codec you wrote?
Yeah, it's a codec which is primarily vector-based, and it also doesn't cut the time into frames. It just records everything at the time which it occurs. And it uses much less space, especially for the workstations they had. They have two or three screens with resolutions of maybe 1024 pixels. So if you do that with MPEG or codecs like that, you get huge amount of data. And with that, we have back then we had maybe between 20 megabytes per hour to a few hundred megabytes per hour, depending on how much happened on the screen, and you can't achieve that with MPEG or stuff like that.
Now, did it always do audio, or was that something you added?
Audio is very new. It's just added it a year ago. This for the railway system, they didn't need the audio. But I concluded that for a broader market and for the more demonstration generating market, audio is a very important feature. So I thought about applications like if I explain something to somebody, I just record the sound and what I do. Or if I do a live seminar, I can record it and things like that. Or for generating tutorials.
Now,
the great thing about
what are some of the other codecs that you support now? Yeah, I know it does Flash. What else? MPEG.
I support MPEG. I support AVI, which contains an MPEG 4 stream. I support direct generation of WAP files. I support Flash video. And there is also a convenient export of a Flash video, which also generates the Flash player and the HTML. So if you want to show it on a website, you just generate three files and copy them on the website, and you can start playing back it immediately. So this is very convenient.
Now, I guess I became aware of Demo Recorder a couple of months ago. Up to that point, I was aware of such applications such as Wink. There was also Istanbul. And there was also was it VNC to SWF? Dan, what was the application? You did your
VNC to
SWF. VNC to SWF. There's also Wink is another one.
All right. Now Wink doesn't do audio.
Or XvidCap.
XvidCap, correct.
And I don't think that any of them does audio.
You can get audio through VNC to SWF, but it's a little more complicated than getting it.
Yours, like you record the audio as you're going along with yours, right? Real time kind of thing.
Yeah, it's real time and it's synchronized with the graphics.
That's
important.
That's fantastic, man, because that was a big issue with the stuff before.
So it saves a lot of work. If you do the recording in a separate application and then you merge the video and the recording together, you have the maybe difficulties to get it synchronized.
Sure.
Because the time base of the sound card and the time base of the computer not necessarily have the exactly same frequency. So if you have a longer recording, you have to do a lot of cut and paste work. And so you'll save all that with Demo Recorder.
So it's pretty complicated to keep everything in sync, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that was most of the work of the sound recording part. So. But I managed to get this. Basically, the master of time is the sound track, and the graphics.
You're crazy, man.
It's a slave to the soundtrack.
Now, what kind of response have you gotten recently regarding your product?
Response is I didn't yet make many sales, but I get regular downloads every day. I have maybe 3 to 10 downloads.
So basically, you're really targeting a niche audience, corporate trainers, education, people looking to put together tutorials.
That's right.
Now, we talked about some of the other products. Wink doesn't do any audio. None of the other products really do audio, except what we talked about before. I guess people have an option. Do you use Windows and use some other product, or do you pay for your product and use your product and run it on Linux or Unix? Have you gotten any pressure to open source any of the application at all from anybody, or no?
Not pressure, but there were people asking why I don't do it open source, of course. The issue is that I won't do it open source at least anytime soon, because there is no viable business model for open source, and I have to justify using my time for this, given that I have a family, I have a job. So
you gotta tell something to the wife, all the time that you spent doing this, there's gotta be some kind of a payback, right?
Yeah, and also I really wanted to work full time on Demo Recorder, so I really aim to earn a living with it, which needs some work in terms of marketing and in terms of improving the product, I guess.
I was overall very impressed with the product. I like the ease of use. It was pretty easy to get going. The only issues that I had with it was originally I wanted to do the recording with a USB headset, and then I corresponded with you, and you told me how to use it from the command line, how to pass the parameters to get it to point to my USB headset. Is there any plans in the future to maybe make that a little bit easier from the GUI so that, you know, someone can go and select which audio device to use for the recording?
Yes, there are plans to integrate all the preferences stuff into the GUI and also to integrate the export filters into the GUI. I think that the thing that that many features are missing from the GUI is one of the reasons why it's currently hard to sell it. But the customers who buy it, they are very happy with it. So they get a lot of positive feedback from my customers.
Because it has a lot of features. The audio is was the big thing, you know, when I looked at it. You know, to me, that's very flexible and very useful. The only other issue is maybe somebody would have maybe the look and feel of the GUI. What kind of toolkit are you using?
Currently, the GUI is Motif based, so it uses LessTif on the Linux. That's really has historical reasons because the GUI for the railway application was also a Motif GUI. It was a requirement back then because their GUIs are also Motif based. I think that in the long term I have to either use GTK or use some own GUI framework to get it a more appealing look. So it currently looks a bit outdated, I guess.
The bottom line, though, is it's a very stable program and it does everything you want it to do.
Mm-hmm. So it currently the primary focus at first was get the functionality right so people can get the job done. So that's the primary focus. Also, if people buy it, I provide support, and I really am interested into people getting their results. But I think when you work with some software, it's also good if it looks appealing. So I will invest time into that too.
I noticed when I fired up Demo Recorder that it appeared to be using a VNC server inside there. Is that correct?
No, it's not VNC.
Oh, it's not VNC.
No. It's an X proxy. So if you know XNest.
Yes.
Yeah. It's using a similar thing to that. So in fact, the recording engine is an X proxy. So it the desktop in there connects to the X proxy.
Dude, it smells hot.
Send all requests to there, and the recording engine does some stuff with that, and then uses the native X server for drawing. So.
Sorry, guys. Like, Dan's over here eating this hot sausage crap next to me. Stuff could gag a maggot, man.
It's pretty disgusting looking. Dan, is that your dinner?
It's just horrible.
Yeah.
I know you guys are missing out on this whole thing, like, visually and through your sense of smell.
Dan literally is living like a bachelor.
It really is horrible.
His wife and his daughters have moved out of the house. They moved down to Virginia.
They probably had to smell that freaking sausage, and that's why they left.
It looks disgusting. It smells pretty bad, too.
I have to eat it before I move down there myself.
Didn't mean to, like, interrupt your
interview. Yeah, sorry for that.
That was the real reason that they moved down there.
I'm sorry. Continue, Chris.
Where did you stop?
We were talking about VNC, whether or not I use VNC.
Mm-hmm. Okay. VNC would be much too slow for this kind of application. It really is an X Windows based technology, and when you start Demo Recorder, you have your desktop in an in a nested window. There is also the possibility to have it full screen, so that the railway application, of course, was done with the full screen mode of the AIM recorder. It just is more complicated to set up. So the config file has to be changed. Central config files of the X-Startup have to be changed for the full screen mode. That's the major reason why, by default, it uses the nested mode. Also, the nested mode has some advantages for making demonstrations, because you usually want to have a lower resolution for demonstrations than the whole screen. So you can easily play it back in a web browser or stuff like that. That was also a reason for the nested.
Because most recording software, usually they just use the window that you're using. And then they focus that. That's what like threw me a little bit. Like you basically you can record the whole screen.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty easy to use. I did a little demo of it, and, and I created a little flash recording, and I put it on my website.
Mm-hmm. And nobody watched it.
Actually, people downloaded it, actually.
No, it looked pretty cool. I did see that. How difficult is it to write? How difficult was it to develop Demo Recorder? And I ask because, I mean, that's one of the things that's been, like, people have been saying, oh, about Linux or any, like most operating systems, why don't we see more of these recording type applications? And, I mean, so far, aside from just like the few handfuls that are, aside from VNC to SWF or PYVNC to SWF, what it's called now, I mean, the other ones really don't seem to be that stable, except for Wink. You know, Wink's another one, but they just don't seem to be that stable.
Demo Recorder has several main years of labor into it. It's a very advanced technology. Basically, there are two ways of doing screen recording. One is the brute force way of just making a lot of screenshots. This has a performance issue with the CPU, and it's difficult to get decent frame rates, but easy to implement, and most of the applications use that approach, except of the VNC stuff. It uses a different approach. And Demo Recorder has a completely different technology, which was much, much more difficult to implement, but has some benefits in terms of CPU usage, which was a very big issue back then in 1997, you can imagine.
Yeah. And still is, right? There's still a lot of people who use, you know, slower machines.
Yeah, and even on fast machines, it's very difficult to get a good frame rate given the high screen resolutions used nowadays. So it's a very...
Getting a little bit of a noise there.
There's a cell phone around here somewhere. That's a cell phone noise.
Maybe it's your neighbors. I don't know.
Sorry about that.
Alan? I just switched off my cell phone because maybe it was that.
Yeah, usually that happens after, you know, every so often when there's a cell phone near a computer. Not when it's in a laptop bag in the corner pad, but right near the computer.
You know what? I just shut it off and I heard it when I shut it off.
Oh. Now, Demo Recorder is primarily for Linux, but you know, since it's a nested X server. Technically speaking, you could also do Windows or OS X if you run a VNC session through there, couldn't you?
What do you mean, Windows?
Well, you could like record a Windows session or an OS X session if inside a Demo Recorder you connected to that session. VNC.
Of course, that's possible. You can start VNC inside it, or you can start VMware inside it. For that, you have to cut out the real Windows screen or OS X screen. So currently demo recorder records the whole desktop, but there is one possibility in the export field is to specify a rectangle, so you can export only a part of the screen. And I will also add a feature where you can select the region of the desktop which you want to record, which is for these kind of applications, I think it's better to not see the VNC application or see the VMware application.
Now, did you say that feature exists now, or you're going to implement that to export a section?
The feature to export a section exists now in form of a command line option where you specify the coordinates. That's not very convenient. And I will implement a way of selecting the region in the recording.
Now,
graphically.
Now, you recently changed the pricing structure of what you were charging for this. I remember you had like four or five different versions available, all different prices. It seems you've cut that down to what, three now?
It were always three, but I changed the features which were available. The export filters for MPEG or AV are now available in the demo recorder standard, which sells for $49. And previously to the change, they were part of the demo recorder Pro, which sold for $294. So it's really, if you need to export to AV or MPEG, this is really a huge price cut. There are still the three versions, Demo Recorder Standard. Then this, I have the Demo Recorder Web, which includes the FLV export filter. It sells for $79. And the Demo Recorder Pro still exists. It has additional feature in form of the demo full screen recording. And it has a premium support package, so if you buy Demo Recorder Pro, you get priority treatment, you get answered your support requests faster.
Now, the you can download a demo version of it for, that's good for what, 30 days?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that has all the features in it, right?
It has all the features in it, but the export filter includes some running text and some logos moving around the screen, so you can use it for evaluation, but not for publishing stuff. Also, there is the possibility if you, when you download when you want to download the demo version, you get a link where to download it, and this link is valid all the time. So if you run out of the 30 days, you just go to the same link and download it again, and so you can basically evaluate it as long as you want, but you always have to download the newest version.
Now, what are some of the requests that users have made as far as improvements or changes?
Pardon, I didn't understand.
What are some of the requests the user base have made regarding the look of it, the functionality of it? Has there been any consensus?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are. One kind of request was OpenGL support. Currently, the recording engine has OpenGL support, but software emulated OpenGL. And what the users want is to have a fast OpenGL support with a hardware accelerated OpenGL. This was requested by several customers, and this will be a very large project, and I'm really going to do it, but it will take some time.
I guess people need to record their XGL compis sessions.
Yeah, that's right. I have some recordings made with XGL using the software emulation. They're also on the website, but it only works with smaller resolutions because software emulation uses a lot of CPU power. As soon as I have the hardware acceleration working with OpenGL, then recording XGL will be very easy. There are also other requests, some smaller features. So one customer had recorded a seminar, and the sound volume was too low, so I added a feature for increasing the sound volume on exporting, and this saved his recordings. And it's interesting that requests for adding features to the GUI are very rare. I was really surprised by that, because when I put it the first version online, I thought that would be the major issue, that a lot of features are not available in the GUI.
Yeah, the one that really stuck at me was the setting up the audio devices.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I was very impressed with it.
What kind of post-production features are available in Demo Recorder? Once you actually record your session, I mean, what can you do before you export it? Is there any kind of editing or enhancements or filters or anything that you can apply to it?
Currently, there are no post-recording editing. The export filters have some features in changing the screen resolution or something like that, but there is currently no editor. It is planned to implement such an editor, so for things like enhance, making some visual feedback for mouse clicks, or maybe even changing the text of the occurring in the recording. But this currently has not started yet. It's in planning phase. It will be available in the Demo Recorder Pro then.
So if someone buys the product, how long do you provide support for? Is it a year?
It's 2 years.
2 years?
I have 2 years support. I have 2 years of bug fixing guarantee. So if a customer finds a bug, I guarantee to fix it within reasonable time. If I can reproduce it, and I will work with the customer until I can reproduce it. So I need some maybe some information for making it reproducible. I think that's every commercial software vendor should provide a bug fix guarantee. Most of them don't.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Yes.
And I also provide a free upgrade for the first 2 years. So that's the maintenance package which comes with it.
Now, is that for the pro version, right? Or is that for all
versions?
That's
for all versions. That's for all versions. The difference between pro version and the other versions is just that the pro version has some priority treatment with respect to support and bug fixes.
So how has the Linux population taken to your program? Because I know I have to admit, until that article was written by was it Rob Limo?
Yeah, well, he talked about there were no Linux applications to suit his needs, and he had to run Windows just to do demos and stuff.
Yeah, the first time I ever heard of it was through that reply article that he wrote regarding your software. So, but it's been around for a fair
couple months.
Amount of time now. How is the community taken to it?
I think the community consists of very different sub-communities. And I tell you what the different sub-communities gave me as feedback. There is one community of the really religious open source people. They just want to have it open source, and they complain that it isn't open source. That's one kind of feedback. Other kind of feedback for more pragmatic people is they appreciate this application being available for Linux, so the Linux platform becomes more attractive which with each additional software product available for it. And then there are people who just want to get their job done, and if Demo Recorder provides that, they are happy about it.
Have you received any complaints or questions as to why you didn't like release this under the GPL or anything like that?
Yeah, I received some questions why I didn't it. I also received complaints. I actually understand also the complaints because back when I was at the university, I also was a very I could say religious or dogmatic open source fan. I changed that opinion a bit. Part of it getting older and getting more pragmatic in this process, and another part was that I realized that I can't really do much work in open source space because I'm lacking the time, because I have to use the time for making money or other things. So
basically, you've invested so much time and energy into this code that you want to just see something, you know. You don't want to be rich,
yeah,
but you want to justify being able to support the product, being able to improve it.
Yes, yes.
Well, buddy, I have a friend, and his name is Richard Stallman, and he's got an issue with that, let me tell you.
He's got a bug up his ass.
That's right. None of that freaking pay software, that's supposed to be free. The hell?
You know what, Chris? Personally, I don't have a problem with what you're doing. You know, you've put a lot of time into this product. It's better than whatever is out there in the free software or open source world.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
For people that have a specific need and they need to create, you know, recordings of their demonstrations, mm-hmm, I think it fills that void. Until, you know, the free software open source stuff, catches up. You know, if I had that need, I wouldn't have a problem paying for your product. That's me, mm-hmm, personally.
However, mm-hmm, everybody on the IRC channel wants to know if they can get a tech show discount.
Yes, there is a discount. Thanks for reminding me.
Hey, see, there you go.
Yeah, for the first 33 people who order Demo Recorder, there is a 33% discount.
All right.
In the online shop, you just enter TLLTS as the coupon code, and you get the discount.
There you go, people.
There you go.
That's outstanding.
Awesome. So it expires. This offer expires end of August, and or after 33 people have ordered.
Okay, that's a good deal.
Awesome, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Hopefully, we can get 33 people to order from. That helps you out too. You know,
I might have to get it myself.
Money's money, right?
Uh-huh.
You know. Okay, so let's reverse the question. We asked why not the GPL? Have people complained about that? Now let's turn it around and say you are developing commercial software specifically, mm-hmm, for Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been successful? I mean, would you categorically say, yeah, I've been successful developing commercial software for Linux? There is a market.
I've not decided yet whether it's successful. I think it looks promising. Currently, it's not making a lot of money.
Dan is rushing to order right now as we speak.
No, he was checking his account.
Okay.
I think the project is, in terms of business evaluation, is in a very early stage, so I really cannot judge it, but I think there is a market for it, and I think it's also possible to be successful as a business selling software for Linux. I really hope it, because I like Linux a lot, and I really want to have this platform be more be also interesting for businesses, so we get a lot of applications also ported to it.
Let me ask you, do you have versions for Unix still?
Pardon?
do you sell any other platforms besides for Linux or no?
I have a free BSD port under development, and also there's a port for Solaris under development. So I also try to broaden that market.
Because this software would be perfect for a corporate environment where they have you know development and you know instructional videos. This would be perfect for that.
That's also the major market I want to address with that.
Have you thought about porting it to other operating systems like
Windows or Mac?
Windows or OS X? Because I know Pat would prefer that you port it to Apple.
I've thought about that, but and maybe I will do it. It will not be really a port because the technology is very much tied to the X technology, so it will really be a new product, but using the same marketing and the same name.
You see, when you develop for Mac, the problem is you'll come out with your product, and then 6 months later, Apple will fly you out to their offices, and they'll tell you that they're interested in the product, and they're interested in negotiating to buy the product from you, and then the next release of OS X will have something that does exactly what your product does, and then you're shit out of luck.
So it's a difficult market. So you have to be very, very fast in getting a profit before Apple knocks you off.
Yes, they'll steal it from you.
Okay. So I better stay in the Linux market again.
How long have you been using Linux?
I use Linux since kernel version 0.99 patch level 6. I think it was 1993 or 1994. It was an SLS release which I downloaded from the university on a set of floppies. And I immediately fell in love with it.
And professionally, you were doing what? The Sun Solaris development originally?
I was a student back then, so I studied computer science, and I worked as a sysadmin at the university, so I already had a lot of Unix experience, primarily with SunOS. Currently, as my day job, I program software under Windows for it's a software for command and control centers.
So do you use any Macintosh computers at home? Because that's what Pat really wants to know.
Okay. No, I don't use any Macintosh.
Good for you, man. Good for you. I'm with you.
But I may change that, maybe.
Oh, here we go.
In other words, pay you enough and you'll cave in.
Hey, get out that business card I gave you.
Yeah, that's right. You got to get that business card.
That guy's information, too.
Regional sales manager.
One of these days I'm just going to schedule a Mac representative for an entire show and just let him be on with Pat the whole time. And you and I could just sit in a corner and laugh, you know?
Attack.
What distribution of Linux are you currently using right now?
So my primary distribution is Debian.
I would have guessed SUSE.
No. I have a SUSE in a VMware box running for testing purposes, but I'm a very long-term Debian user. I think...
He said Debian.
It was... I started using Debian in 1995.
That's good.
And I keep with that, so it's very stable. It's very convenient with the app get feature to update it, upgrade it. I have no reason to change.
So, what kind of window manager do you run?
I run a very old window manager. I run VWM2.
Ooh!
Wow!
Hardcore, man.
There's nothing wrong with that, right?
I also use it for since I guess 1995 or stuff like that, and I'm used to it. I start most of my applications from the command line, so.
Well, you can really customize the hell out of that thing, anyway. right? Most people don't know that. Most people look at it and go, oh, you know, shit, that's really ugly. And then, because, you know, it really is when you first start it up. But,
yeah, but you can
tweak the crap right out of that thing and make it do whatever
you
want.
And then
you
customize the hell out of it and you say, you know, that still looks really ugly.
then you stick with it because you
put so much time in it already, right?
So you can have a very large virtual desktop with EVM 2, and I really use that.
Yeah. What about editor? VI, Emacs?
Different things. For development, I use Snisk Plus because for some time I was in worked at Wind River. And I was involved in the development of the Snisk Plus product. For other editing purposes, I use VI.
Yeah. He uses VI because he's a man. Only wusses use.
Well, he said, you know, for certain purposes. I can understand for quick and dirty VI is great, but for like real hardcore programming people, I could see them using other IDEs.
Pat uses Nano, Pico.
No, I use mostly VI when I'm in Linux.
He uses Apple Text Editor.
When I'm at work and I'm doing coding, like in say Java, I use Eclipse.
That's a beast.
That's because you need like a debugger and stuff, and
of course.
Yeah.
You need a debugger to do code.
Yeah,
I do code all day long, and I do it in VI. And
if you're doing really complicated shit with like links to like 20 different things,
yeah, that's what I do.
You need something a little more.
Evidently, I'm just a better
heavy
coder than you are.
Okay. How much do you make a year?
It's not how much you make.
Yeah, exactly.
How much does Linus Torvalds make off of the kernel?
He probably makes a lot.
Yeah.
All right, you two, calm down.
Oh, you really want to get to it?
Piss and match. How difficult has it been to, with regards to licensing? Because I know you develop a product that runs on top of Linux, and a lot of Linux takes advantage of the GNU utilities and libraries and stuff like that. How difficult has it been to make sure that you don't end up using, you know, a part of a GPL library or something like that?
It was not very difficult. Of course, I read the licenses. I don't use many of these licenses, so the major thing is that I use LGPL things like the C library or LESTIF. So the important thing is to link them dynamically. So use shared libraries. That's important. Of course, I have the source code of all the open source components which I use are available for download. And I don't link any pure GPL code to it, which was not an issue here because it's primarily based on the X window system, and the license of X allows proprietary relicensing of the code. So this was not really an issue. It was easily solved.
Okay. So then when you develop software for Linux, as long as you just pay attention to what you're doing, creating software that is non-free or non-GPL isn't that difficult. And you can still do it, and it can run on just about any Linux distribution without a problem. Correct?
Yeah.
There you go.
But the problem is more to test it on every Linux distribution, making sure that it runs. If you do OpenGL, you release the source code, and the distribution providers or distribution makers will make sure that it runs there. So there is additional work involved with doing it a closed source. Also, there is not the if you do open source, you're, it's, I think it's a lot of fun to work together with other developers. So I'm missing out on that. The ideal thing, I think, would be a way to open source a software and be able to make a living with it. But I think nobody really has solved that problem for in a way which is applicable to many developers.
Understandable.
You just have so much time invested into the project that you're just looking to make some money, which is okay. I don't have a problem with that.
Are you working on anything else right now, or is demo recorded, you know, pretty much taking up all your time?
Demo recorder currently is a part-time project. Full-time, I work as an employee doing Windows programming. So I try to invest as much time as I can afford into demo recorder, because my heart is attached to it. And I would love to do it full-time. I used to do it full-time for some time, but then I ran out of money, so I had to get a job again.
You got
to
pay the bills.
Yeah, of course. Everybody has to do that.
Do you find it difficult to go between programming for Linux and programming for Windows?
That's not really difficult. So the basic programming thing is the same. So I think programming is programming. It's more fun to program for Linux, but I must say that the Windows programming I do is part of a. So I don't program GUIs on Windows, so I don't have much to do with the Windows API. So I just make some server applications.
So do you do .NET programming under Windows?
No. It's C++ programming.
Okay.
Basically using some internal libraries we have in this company, and using the POSIX interface. So it's not so much different.
Interesting.
Chris, I want to thank you for, you know, basically getting up in the middle of the night to talk to us. We really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
And we wish you the best of luck, you know, with Demo Recorder. Hopefully, you know, some of our listeners might be interested and might buy it from you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a really neat product, and I played around with it, and it's, you know, it's
better than what's up, whatever else.
Good
is
stuff.
Out there.
I was really impressed with the demos that were on the website. You know.
So. Yes. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
Yes.
And I wish you.
Thanks for this.
I wish you a lot of success.
Yes, thank you very much for coming on. And what time is it there anyway? It's like 3:30 in the morning, right?
Yeah, 3:30 in the morning.
Time for bed.
That's some dedication right there.
Do you have to go to work tomorrow morning?
This morning, right?
Yeah, of course. I worked the whole day programming for the Windows thing, and I think I already slept, so I will stay up and do some stuff for demo recorder, and then drive to the employee job.
People, help this brother out and freaking buy some demo recorder so he can develop full time for this.
Do you want us to write you a note for work? Maybe
that's right.
An excuse.
Okay.
Please excuse Chris from work. He was on the tech show.
Okay. Thanks for inviting me, and yeah, it was really interesting, and I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot.
And maybe we can touch base with you a couple months from now, see how things are going.
Yeah, of course.
It's
been nice.
Yeah, great job, and keep up the great work, and we'll look forward to talking to you again. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, thanks bye-bye. A lot, too.
Get some sleep, man.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And there you have it, Demo Recorder.
So there you go, a guy trying to freaking make some money selling some Linux software.
Jump right on that website right now and buy yourself a copy, www.demorecorder.com.
Coupon code TLLTS.
What's interesting is Chris has left us, and right after he hung up, All of a sudden, that horrible noise is back. That must be Alan.
Alan's back.
I muted his mic. Oh.
Hey, I'm back with my sleep.
Hello, Satan. How are you?
Oh.
You have
a controlling the effects. I'm sorry.
You have a place for Link waiting, is what I hear. Is that true?
Yes. Are you here to pick up Link?
Probably.
Stop touching yourself.
All right, now I'm back to normal.
Stop touching yourself.
That wasn't Link touching himself. That was Pat touching himself.
I couldn't remember the guy's name. I was going to say that. Can't all right, for official here.
Can't stop touching yourself.
No. Pat, stop touching Link.
Pat, stop touching Dan. That's what it is. Oh, man.
Is Tim McGraw over there?
All I can say is I have like 99 of them I can go through.
Oh, jeez. How can you fart on your microphone and then put it right back up your face?
Yes. He likes the smell
of
it.
That's what I want to know. That's just...
What I want to know is, what the hell is this, man? Miller's Hot Bologna.
Some good stuff.
It looks like freaking beef jerky or like sausages.
This is some quality product, man. Listen to the ingredients.
It's all sodium, man.
Packed in a solution of vinegar, water, salt, and with peppers added. Ingredients: beef, pork cheeks, beef hearts, pork hearts, mechanically separated chicken, pork tongues, water, salt, spices, paprika flavorings, hydrolyzed soy and wheat gluten protein, smoke flavoring, garlic powder, monosodium glutamate, sodium erythrobate.
So basically, it's lips, nitrate, assholes, and salt. Collagen,
no, you know what I was just thinking? If you took the peppers... Yeah, if you take the peppers and the salt out of that, that's exactly the same composition as those leathery dog chews. It's exactly the same.
They're pretty good. Do you want
it's
one?
A people.
No,
chew.
I don't want
I'll
one.
I'll try one, man. Ooh. Let me see.
Go ahead, man. Have one. They're pretty good.
I don't want to be like a rocket ship tomorrow with flames shooting out of my ass.
Let me see.
Not too bad, huh?
Very vinegary. Very vinegary and salty.
Throw it at Link if you don't want it.
Nope.
Tasty. Wait till tonight after you start having the fart.
Yeah, stop pushing me on top of the water.
Be farting my sleep later.
So what else is going on? I mean, we got ourselves an hour.
Hey, did the noise go away, you guys?
Yes.
Well, the big news is we switched hosting sites, okay. Right?
It was just the air conditioner.
We switched hosts now. If you are on the TLLTS site, either .org or .info, you are on the new tech show site.
It's real responsive. No problems, man. It's nice.
So far, everything looks good.
We had enough of the other host.
Yeah, well... You know, when they go down for a week, in a week and a half's time.
Yeah. It was like 2-3 times in a week.
It's just too much, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, even so, they were pretty good for us. No.
For the most part, they're all right. We could say who they was.
As a host for right? Tectonic, yeah, we had them for quite a while.
Tectonic, we had them for a couple of years, man. They're all right for the most part. I know John Watson had some issues because he was using, managed stuff?
Right. Which is what we're doing now, by the way, so... That was the big rub, and it took me, 3 days to get everything over there and get it working because I had to recode a lot of the PHP because it was a managed site, and they did their MySQL databases different. And
now these guys are in Utah, right?
Happy horse shit, yep. Utah-based Bluehost.
A bunch of our Mormon buddies,
is
man.
Is what they're called, and... So, like I said, so far they seem pretty good. Yeah, even though I had my wife, check them out online... Because she likes to, she likes to feel important and stuff. So I let her check them out online in the Better Business Bureau site?
Uh-huh.
And they had two complaints on them in the last 3 years. One was resolved.
That's not bad,
the
considering other one, they probably have thousands of,
Yeah, well, they've
clients.
Been running since 1996, right?
Yeah, that's not
so,
bad.
So one of them was resolved amicably, and the other one didn't say. It probably was. You know what I mean?
One out of thousands? That's not bad at all.
And she checked them out, and that didn't sound too bad to me. Plus the fact, they had this little chat button right on their page, right? since they have 24/7 service, and they have a little chat bot. You know, press just to chat with us now.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, and you know, I keep weird hours anyway on the weekend, so I chatted him up. It was like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and the guy popped right on. Hey, you know, what can I help you with? And it's like, you know, Saturday or Friday night, Saturday morning, and I did it again on Sunday night, Monday morning, and they popped right in, and you know, something I can help you with, and I talked with them for a couple of minutes, and. And, you know, that kind of pleased me when they say they have 24-hour service, and they actually do. Much unlike the other place, which was PenguinWebHosting.com. Stay the fuck away from them, man.
No, the thing that got you about them was it was like $85 unlimited bandwidth, right?
Right, unlimited outgoing bandwidth, but it's one of those, they have one of those secret hidden, you know, secret hidden things where they tell you, you know, way down in the terms of service that, oh, you know, we really were kidding about the unlimited bandwidth if you're actually serving up files for someone to download.
Well, that's what we do.
It's unlimited bandwidth if you're just hosting like a static site where you could only possibly generate 4 megs of traffic a month.
It's nothing.
But if you have stuff for people to download, like then, you know, we're just kidding. It's not really unlimited. It's only 200 meg a month. Or 200 gig a month,
tell them
which
that.
Is nothing. You that know, sucks. We get 200 gig a month in a couple days.
So for the new place, my question is, how much are we saving?
We are saving approximately 3/4 of our.
That's phenomenal, man.
Of our
props to you, Link.
Out of Dan's pocket.
That's good stuff,
so to speak. As soon as he closes the old site down and starts recouping
his
money.
Shut it off, man.
So that's good because it went. You know, it's like it cost me $100 to get this new site going. And the old site was like $20 a month, so you know that's a lot.
And
of money.
What's the bandwidth restrictions on this one?
Bandwidth restrictions on this one are 750 gig a month.
That's pretty good,
as opposed to 500 a month on the other one, right?
Yeah,
on the old one.
That's good.
Which one?
Tectonic.
On Tectonic site.
Do we have 500 a month?
I think it was 500 a month. Which we've gone over like many, many times, and they never said anything.
Well, don't say nothing.
Don't say anything.
But, don't say anything until after Dan cancels.
Until he closes the account.
Oh, well, I'm sure they're not listening now, so if you close the account right after the show, fuck them.
You know, I got to say, I mean, we've had 3 good years or two and a half good years with them.
They can't take a joke.
It's a shame. It
sounds like they're going downhill pretty quick, though. A lot of people are complaining about them.
Right. Well, they were really good. Like, for the longest time, we never had a problem at all. And then all of a sudden, you know, John goes tits up with all his sites. And then, you know, ours gets shut down for an entire weekend because, quote unquote, they had a script that went wrong that limited our outgoing bandwidth to 100K.
It was awful, man. You couldn't even get in.
Dude. And then they're like, you know, and then I'm trying to email them going, you know, what the fuck is the problem with this? And they're talking to me like, you know, like I'm crazy and I did something to this freaking server, you know. I didn't do it. How the hell can I, you know, squander the bandwidth down to 100K?
Oh, man, we went through such, I went through such hell that one night trying to remove everything and reinstall everything. And then
shit
wasn't working. And then, oh.
Bunch of peckers.
Get it all back up again. And
hey, live and learn, man. You move on.
Yeah, well, we moved on.
Speaking of moving on.
JZA says he's looking for a managed server. That's exactly what we're on, JZA. If you want to go to check out Bluehost.com, go right ahead. But if you're interested in, if any of you guys are interested in getting a managed server with Bluehost, please let me know first because they have this reseller program that we can join.
You refer somebody
that will, yeah. If we refer you, I mean, it's still going to cost you the same amount of money. But if we refer you, they actually cut us some slack and give us some money back or money towards our next hosting expense or something like that. So you know, and I think it's like considerable money too. So yeah, please let us know if you're going to do that.
Link with his hand out again.
No shit.
I'm going to have my hand
Listen,
up.
Because,
if they're
going to
spend the money, regardless, at least we get a discount on the process.
Yeah, help the tech show out. Any money that we can save is money that, you know, we can all put towards stuff like getting more T-shirts and getting out to some of these Linux community functions and stuff
Cheeky
like
bar
that.
Runs.
Yeah. Gas to drive up to Boston or whatever.
No shit, right. Drive out to Columbus, yep. Which brings that. Brings that up.
I filled the application out.
Right.
I got an auto reply back saying I received it.
Right.
Didn't hear nothing. I sent an email to Joe from Linux.com. He's on the board there.
All right.
Today, so I haven't heard back from Joe.
Okay. Well, I want to sit Gorkon on that, too. So, Gorkon, you're going to be our point man out there in Columbus since you're right there. Why don't you hassle the living shit out of these people and get some information for us? Because if you guys want to see us out there
Columbus
at the show in Columbus, then you got to get us in there and get somebody to start responding
to
the
Ohio Linux Fest. It's happening at the end of September.
Yeah, end of September.
And you were there, man. The wife said I could go.
Yep, that's right.
In fact, the wife didn't say I could go. The wife said I was going.
Cool. She said you could. Not only did she say you could go, she said Alan could go.
All right.
That's Alan's anniversary.
Is it really?
Yeah. Right, Alan? No, I'm pretty sure I heard that.
Yeah, it is.
She said you could go.
I'm two weeks before you, man. 2 weeks before you.
You're going to bring her along, Alan.
I have no clue.
He's going to bring the car.
Yeah, Gorkon was mentioning really cheap hotel room. A few weeks was it?
Yeah, isn't it Hotel Gorkon?
I thought we were crashing at Gorkon's place.
I thought so, too. He said he had a hot tub and some food and booze.
He was going to massage us. Happy ending.
Masseuse, yeah.
Dan was going to bring him a Lemon Party t-shirt, which he has on right now.
Lemon Party t-shirt.
Hey, this is a hot commodity.
Lemon
right here.
Party, Dan?
Oh, Lemon man. Party t-shirt.
Let me tell you something. You couldn't pay me to wear that.
That's disgusting.
Why? You know what?
I feel sorry for the poor people you're giving it to who don't know what the hell it is. You know,
it's evil. Dan is so evil on so many levels, man. Dan's a really nice guy. He really means well, but on a lot of levels, he's very evil.
That's not nice. Spreading lies. You know, speaking of moving on, I moved on from onto a new blogging software.
What are you on, WordPress?
I am on WordPress now.
How do you like it?
I've run WordPress for other things. And it's pretty solid.
Yeah, you're running for Alan's blog. You're running for your wife's blog.
My wife's blog for Logger. I've done it at work, and I really like Bblog, but I just got so sick of the spam. And there's just really almost no way to manage.
I shut my comments off, so
I don't get any spam.
I don't give a shit. I don't care what people have to say. So
I like if this is
my blog. I write what the hell I feel. You know. If you don't like it, don't read it. That's all. Write your own goddamn blog.
I want to enable comments on mine too, but mine's custom. I custom wrote all my software. So I was thinking about putting it on there. I just another one of them procrastination issues, you were talking last week
about getting your daughter onto WordPress as she moved over.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, no. Actually, she finally did. She finally got off her ass and
shut down
and put at least
shut down MySpace account.
I want to look. Yeah, she shut her MySpace Zanga. Down, and she can't shut her Zanga down because she used a non-existent email account to get the place and the fake driver's license. Like that, she can't shut it down.
The fake driver's license.
I wanted to see if she put more than one. I know she put one 18? Post on there, but I want to see if she put another one.
She used his credit
on there.
Card and social security number to sign up. It was a special deal through some Russian site.
I see she changed the
what's it called?
Changed some of the colors there. But
wait.
Only one. Yeah, this is just.
Triple X, beautiful undying?
No.
What's with the double X?
This is some kind of it's some kind of lead speak shit thing that goes on at MySpace. Don't ask.
She didn't change the post, though.
No, she didn't. It took me like 4 days to get her to get this stuff up.
Question there, is it as ugly as any typical MySpace website?
No, it's a typical WordPress.
That's good.
Only with a different color. That's about it.
Whoa. Come on. She posted on August 20th? What's today's date?
She did use it.
23rd? Come on. 3 days?
Hey, I'm trying to get her to do this. At least she's not doing the MySpace shit.
MySpace is evil.
Where's the 25 pervs commenting? No?
None of that. Nope. Nope, not on my site where I can block everybody's IP address. Or
Link invites
or
the pervs to
ban of IP addresses.
Did you try setting up Dan's Guardian?
No, I told her I was gonna. I told her if she didn't shut her MySpace and Zynga stuff down, and cut with the crap over there, that I was going to. That I would simply put up. I didn't tell her I was going to use Dan's Guardian
because that's basically what a proxy server, right?
Yeah.
I told her that I would come over with a baseball bat and hit her machine. No!
I told her that I would make sure that no one in the house could ever hit that site again. Or anybody at her grandfather's house. She likes to go over there and use a computer. However, I administer his computer, and I will just run his shit through Dan's Guardian, too. So.
Hey, there's that bug.
Yeah, it was on your shoulder before, Dan. It was, like, taking bites out of you. Dan was, like, totally ignoring it. Look at that thing, man.
I was going to go smack the damn thing.
What an ugly bug, man. It's like a flying cockroach.
Smack it on his brand new wall.
Ah, he got it. Feed it to the cat.
Don't have to do that with my cats. Well, my dog body
art,
slams
he leaves it on the wall while
smacking. That's true.
Him.
It's modern art. You can get a government grant, man.
Oh, shit.
I don't know what they're called, but like all the kids always call them stink bugs.
They're ugly freaking moth-like creatures that kind of look like a
cross
between a moth and like a freaking cockroach.
Oh,
don't you have them all over your
porch?
Are
those little round?
They're around.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. Well, yeah, they're
about the size of your pinky nail kind of thing.
They're pretty ugly.
They're about the size of your thumbnail, man.
Yeah, they're. Yeah, I can't remember what it's called. They're from like China.
No, you're thinking of Japanese beetles?
Those are different, yeah.
No, this is a different one.
We had this conversation before at my house, remember?
We were drunk.
I don't know.
You might have been drunk.
It's a freaking bug, right?
It's an ugly bug.
It's a bug. I don't like it.
It's an ugly bug. It's a brown marmorated stink bug.
Yeah.
It's a bug. Step on it.
Is that the official name?
Around my house, we just call
it the official name.
Dead bug.
Yeah. It's like how about those palmetto bugs in Florida? You ever seen those things, man?
What?
Palmetto bugs? They look like flying cockroaches.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty.
I've only been to Florida once.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Texas has some pretty ugly bugs, too. You ever been to Texas?
Yep.
Nasty, man.
It was first collected in September of 1998 in Allentown.
Was it really? That explains a lot.
There's only two Hopalonas left.
Yeah, I work with a Chinese. Yeah, I work with a Chinese lady. That's how they translate in Chinese. Don't ask me exactly why, but that's what she called them.
Hey, I'll give you all my grape soda if you chug this.
No. Keep your grape soda.
Can you imagine chugging this?
Ugh.
The crap you'd
it's
have.
It's all salt, man. Yeah, so we're trying to go to Ohio Linux Fest, man. So if you want to see us there, bug the people from the Ohio Linux Fest. Send them an email. Let them know that you want to see the Tech Show guys there.
Yes. And donate. You want us to come with swag? Donate, because I'm broke.
Yeah. You know what? I don't think we're going to have much swag there, are we?
I don't think so. Unless we somehow come up with some money, we can order some t-shirts, guys.
I think we should go with the pens, man. Cheap.
Depends. Yeah.
Yes. Depends.
We'll have Tech Show Depends garments. That'll be a good time, man. You lived in Columbus for a while, Link, right?
Yes, I did.
I saw
Uzi Alley, right?
I saw the 30 Days episode.
On the west side, yeah.
Did you see the 30 Days episode where he tries to do live on minimum wages for a month? He did it in Columbus, Ohio, man. Supposedly, Columbus is really, it's really bad shape, supposedly.
Columbus is a great city. It's very clean. It's a planned city, not like Allentown or Easton, where
it's just
every
a mess.
Roads
yeah.
every go every freaking which way. So like the blocks are square and everything like that. Their social programs there are very, very good. At least they were when we were there.
When were you there?
I was there 14 years ago.
So like what, like 93?
Yeah. 91, 92. But you know, I really, really liked it there. That's probably the best city I've ever lived in.
Dan, you saw that episode. The one where they live on minimum wages?
No. I haven't seen 30 Days in
so
long.
Go on YouTube. There's a bunch of episodes on YouTube you can watch. 30 Days is a great show, man.
It is. I've seen
it. It's the guy who did Supersize Me, Morgan Spurlock. Really cool documentary type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what the premise is, it's on FX, is he has people you basically live in the complete opposite of what you normally are, live in their shoes for a month. He has like a Christian guy living as a Muslim. He has like a, the one that's on tonight is a pro-choice woman living in a pro-life household and going through that whole deal. They had a couple episodes ago, they had a guy who lost his job for outsourcing move over to Mumbai, India, and live in Mumbai, India for a month, working at a call center. It's good stuff, you know? He had an atheist living with a fundamentalist Christian family down in Texas.
He had Alan living with Tim McGraw.
Yeah, Dan putting on Lemon Party t-shirts.
I thought we had this discussion already.
Alan's going to kick the crap out of you.
We're going to have Pat live with Steve Jobs for a bit.
He's probably got a nice house, man. I'll live there.
30 days.
That would be...
30 days in
Apple. I'll go work at Apple for 30 days.
You know what? Speaking of Apple, hold on a minute.
Can just hear now. All right, Pat, a little lower. Yeah, that's it. Work my iPod, baby.
Yeah, right. Get out the scissors. Clip. Where the hell did he go now? I don't know.
He farted one too many times. He had to run for the hopper.
Well, that's what happens when you freaking eat those sausages for freaking 3 days straight, man. All you do is fart and freaking belch.
It's not the farting. That's the problem. It's what comes out afterwards, you know. What the hell are you doing?
Oh, you got the Commodore 64 book on the edge.
Oh, I wanted to. I got to order that, man.
I'm not sure who recommended it.
Judlin.
Judlin recommended this book called On the Edge, The Spectacular Rise and Fall of the Commodore.
Did you order that, or did you find it in a bookstore?
No, I ordered it. I ordered it off of Amazon. And
I got to get that. I love my Commodore when I was, you know, growing up. That was the shit right there.
It's really interesting because it almost tells a completely different tale from what you hear nowadays, particularly from the Apple PR machine, about how, you know, the rise of the personal computer. And essentially, you know, back in the day, the three big ones, the biggest one was primarily the Trash 80. Followed by the Commodore, and then the Apple. And then it was Commodore and Apple back and forth a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm only up to like 1979 in that book. But it's really interesting how the perspective on the industry back in the late 70s, early 80s. And it's completely different than a lot of the PR that's pushed out there now, particularly by Apple. Because most of the companies, you know, that were putting out the first PCs are no longer in existence. I mean, I think Apple is pretty much the only one that's left over out of that handful of systems that started off. I mean, you had what, the TRS-80, the Commodores, the Ataris, the who else was there? MS.
Two of the there's a bazillion different home computers at that
Texas
point in
Instruments,
time.
Texas Instruments. But, you know, none of those are left,
right.
Essentially.
Right.
So I do recommend the book. I'm going to save my complete review for it until I finish reading it.
We're all a bunch of Commodore geeks.
But it's
back in the
day. I never had a Commodore.
Really?
My dad got me the TI.
I feel
love
sorry
my
for
Commodores.
You.
I still have them.
Yeah, I was an old Commodore person, man, way back when.
I remember getting my hands on a Commodore every so now and then, and you end up in like some, you go over there into the command line of the Commodore or in Basic, and it always starts typing out the PASCII, was that it? PETSCII, P-E-T-S.
PETSCII?
PETSCII, yeah, where it was just like symbols and graphics.
Oh, it's because you hit the Commodore key.
Yeah, you get like the spade and the clove.
I always got that no matter what I put it. Yeah.
I started with a VIC-20, man. That was my very first computer.
But it's a really good book if you're at all interested in the history of the personal computer.
Things would have been so different, man, if Commodore didn't fuck it up.
If Jack Tramiel didn't fuck it up. It's pretty cool.
It would definitely be a different world today.
Yep, we could be working on computers that you could actually do some stuff with, you know, without having to have it. Could you imagine a 3 gigahertz Commodore?
Oh, kick ass. The Amiga, dude, man, when the Amigas came out,
you had a full-featured operating system, you know, and even some GUI stuff.
Amiga was
and
awesome,
64K.
Man. Amiga was awesome. I loved my Amiga.
What really blew me away about this book is not so much the perception of Apple, the perception of Steve Wozniak.
Really? What do they say?
I mean, like, when you think of Steve Wozniak...
You think, like, a really nice, jovial kind of guy.
Benevolent genius.
Smart guy who knows his shit, who's really friendly and big teddy bear kind of dude.
Really took Apple into the... Skyrocketed, right?
Yeah, he was like the genius, the technical genius behind the company.
Keep all the, you know, all the social stuff, the jovial guy, you know, kind of practical jokes or all that stuff aside. Apparently, there was a lot of problems
with
his
dick?
Technical capabilities.
Was he an idiot or a dick?
No, he wasn't an idiot. I'm not saying he was an idiot, but I think at one point they were even trying to put pressure on him, or they were going to get rid of him.
Why? Because
the whole thing with
he's falling behind.
The whole thing with the disk drive, like the story you hear, is that you know, with the whole Apple disk drive, was that what you hear nowadays is, you know, nobody had a disk drive, so he sat down one night and just put it all together right before the CES.
It wasn't him; it was a whole bunch of people, right?
But no, what actually had happened was what they say in this book. Is that, no, it wasn't that he sat down one night and put it all together. Yeah, he managed to get it together right before the show, but they had been putting a lot of pressure on him for, like, months for him to do this, and he wasn't cutting the mustard with this. Like, he wasn't doing it. It wasn't coming together for him. And, you know, they were really putting a lot of pressure on him, almost to the point I think they were even saying getting rid of him. But, I mean, it's like a completely different perspective. He goes in and saying... The author
he was struggling, in other words. He got to the point where
right.
he wasn't able to do what he was doing before.
Well, they make it sound like he all of a sudden just decided one day, I'm going to do this, and boom, there it was.
And he was blown off work.
But it was a lot of uphill battles with regards to getting him to actually do this. They had made mention in there about Apple had, from the get-go, billed themselves as the number one computer in the world, when actually they were far behind the Commodore,
right.
which was far behind the TRS-80 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Trash 80s.
So, you know, they weren't the number
I
one.
I remember those black and white monitors in my school.
Yeah, their PR machine. They had a lot of deficits.
Hey, I like my Model 100. A laptop that runs on 4A batteries.
I still have one. Still have one.
Someday I'll complete the collection and get all the pieces that go along with it.
I want the I got to get the disk drive that I don't have, and I want the acoustic coupler modem.
Oh yeah, I love the big ass freaking floppy disk.
Yeah, I have the disk drive. I have a disk drive for it, but I do need the acoustic coupler. Yeah,
that's what I really I you
big
know
big ass floppies.
Anybody out there who 8-inch floppies? I have a couple of them. Anybody out there who knows of or can find me an acoustic coupler modem, man. Send me one. I don't care what it's for. You know, I'm not going to use it. It's just like a piece of history that I want to have sitting on my desk as a reminder that I'm a real computer user. Back before the days of AOL, you know.
AOL. CompuServe.
I've been looking for them for a long time. Every time I find one, somebody wants like hundreds of dollars for them, you know.
Well, unfortunately, we missed the Hamfest up at Sussex this year, and they usually have stuff like that up there.
Those are awesome.
What about the Trenton Festival?
That's over with this year, too.
You didn't go to that, did you?
Yeah, I did go.
I thought you and Alan went.
We did go. I did go.
You packed
there for long.
Camper and you slept together in the parking lot.
Or did I go? I don't even remember if I went now. Who the hell knows?
Who cares, right?
Yeah.
It's over with and done. It's in the past.
Pretty much. I want an acoustic coupler modem.
Stick that goddamn pipe in your muffler and then in your tailpipe and then stick it through your window.
The link on eBay, I found one for an Atari 830.
How much?
For an Atari 830 acoustic, it ends in a week.
What do they want for it?
$5.
What's the buy?
See, now that's not bad.
What's the buy me now price?
That's not bad.
$500.
It doesn't have one.
What I really want
doesn't have a buy me now, but
yeah. What I really want is that I want the same setup that my uncle taught me on in Ohio when I was growing up. And sorry. He had a ADM3A terminal and a matching acoustic coupler modem that he used to dial into his university, and that was the shit back then. You know what I mean? This light baby blue ADM3A terminal. Yeah, probably nobody even knows what the hell I'm talking about. But
I remember those things.
They were the shit, man.
I had a buddy who was really into the Atari stuff.
One of them, an acoustic coupler modem, we used to throw his... he had a really, really long phone cord, and we used to take his phone off the hook and, like, chuck it downstairs and dial the number real quick, and he'd stick it on the acoustic coupler modem. That was some cool shit.
I thought we would have shit when we had the 300-port modem with the cable.
Here's another one for $35. It's a vintage Novation Cat 300 baud acoustic modem.
See, now I'm going to have to look at some of them now.
Is this stuff worth anything these days?
No, it's really sentimental not value. You know?
Like, could you buy a Vic 20 for how much? $10? $15?
I wouldn't sell you mine for that much. It'd be, you know, more like $50.
Really?
Especially if they work now. Now it's getting to the... They were really cheap a few years ago. Now it's getting to the point where you can get them, but it's hard to find ones that actually work. So
what are you going
to
do with
clean ones? Still use them, man. All the software that I have, like the old games and stuff I used to play and dig back then, still runs on there.
I used to play the game, the Blue Max. That was my favorite on the C64.
See, I'd like pull one of those games out, and I've done this, and like I play it for a couple minutes, and I'm like, screw that, I'm going down to my game.
Here's a Vic 20 for $5.
There you go.
There you go.
That's a good price.
16K, baby.
I had to hook up my TI.
There you go.
One of my friends was really into TI.
All sound.
He had the football game, and we used to play that, I remember.
My dad wouldn't let me get games. I had to program my own games. Yes.
Bastard.
Call sound. Call sprite. A lot of stuff. Go to. Call sound.
I did a game on the Commodore 64. I did a sprite. It was like a little Enterprise, and you would just like shoot it like ground targets as you were flying by across the screen.
Yeah.
I used to do all kinds of programs, and then I went from doing my Commodore 64 to programming doors for BBSs. Any guys remember those?
Oh yeah,
calling BBSs up, BBS anti BBSs. Shit, I used to write door programs called it Linkware. I made some decent money doing that.
BBSs were the freaking shit for a while, man.
Yeah.
One of my buddies, he had an Atari,
a long time.
An Atari 800. He had a BBS, and we used to like call in there, and he used to have like all the games with like all the copy protection ripped off, and we thought it was so awesome.
Yeah, man.
Like, oh, he's got copy protection ripped off.
I used to have people call into my bulletin board, which was only 2,400 baud at the time. They used to call my Commodore bulletin board at 2,400 baud from England to upload and download wares. Which, of course, you know.
Because back then, it was all calling, basically.
But
you wanted to go into a bulletin really board, cool, you had to make a long-distance call to the bulletin board.
So people would call me from Great Britain to upload software.
It was freaking expensive, man. Back in the day, man, CompuServe or even AOL, it was expensive. They used to charge you by the hour, I remember.
Yeah. But I tell you what, my first experience online was a 300 baud. And I thought, this is the shit.
Yep.
And then after that, I got a 2,400 baud modem, and I thought to myself,
can't get better
damn.
Than this.
I said, why would you ever need to go faster than this? I said, I can't even keep up with the damn words on the page as they're going by. Go by so fast. You know, you have to, like, pause the freaking screen so you can read it. I'm like, wow. This is incredible, man.
Doesn't get better than this.
56K now makes me want to get out and push, dude, you know? It's horrible.
See, I miss that whole period because I got a modem and everything, and I was all ready to go, but my parents never got me a freaking phone line.
Oh, man.
That pissed me
off. You missed all the good times.
I missed everything.
Talk about Catch 22.
Yeah, and then I just was like, well, the hell with it, and high school came around, and I got involved in other things.
Mm-hmm.
Got into chicks.
guys.
Well, you go both ways then. Yeah, so.
But you know, I just think to myself, I was doing all sorts of stuff with my computer. If only I had gotten online at that time, my whole life could have been different.
Dial-up was cool.
Yeah,
man.
It would have been the same.
I could have been a Windows stories. Programmer right now.
.NET, man.
Damn, I'd have been like, woo, all the way with Vista. Can't wait. Or better yet, I could have been an Apple programmer.
Ooh.
Man,
you could have been a stockholder from way back when.
I could have been in the Apple game. Damn, my parents ruined me with my Apple career.
You could have went into the interview Damn. With Steve Jobs wearing no pants.
Could have. Could have been a contender. I could have been a Mac geek.
Burr.
Mac apologist. Instead of a Mac apologist, I could have been a Mac geek.
Dan is a closet Mac geek.
You know what?
And so are the days of our lives.
I use my Mac.
Here's an Ethernet card for my SE30.
I absolutely hate super drives. I hate those. I hate Macintosh CD-ROM DVD drives. I play my Johnny Sacco. Right?
Explode, don't they?
After about an hour of playing it, half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, it starts to get all goofy, and then it tells me the disc is scratched.
It's getting hot or something.
And I got to eject it and put the disc back in, and it plays fine after that. It's a quality Apple product.
Send it back.
It's made in the same Can't piece of shit factory in Malaysia as anybody else.
Yeah. Did you still have your $9 million worth of AppleCare on it?
No. I. You know what? I don't know. And I don't care because I'm not going to have it much longer. It's not mine. Work.
So are you gonna get a ThinkPad, Dan?
I don't know. I'm not gonna get one of those. I'm still a little
$3,000 ones.
That. I was looking at System 76.
Yeah, I was checking that out. Too. Yeah. There's also Linux certified as the other one.
See, I don't know if I was gonna buy like one of those higher end System 76s. They're like $1,200. It might be. You know, I'm like, well, would I buy that or would I buy a ThinkPad
or Sony or something?
Or would I just go to the freaking show and get one that's maybe a year old that'll do everything I want, a higher end one.
It's in good shape.
Yeah.
Yep. That's what I do. Try them before you buy them there. You know, bring your little CD with you.
Pop a
DVD. Pop the damn
do
thing in there.
Do they have a live Windows CD? Actually, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Now they do, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I should do that. Hey, but you know what? I don't have any money, so I got to wait until they sell the house, and then I got to give the wife the old puppy dog eyes and say, but honey,
please.
I worked so hard at putting the house together. I'm not going to have a laptop anymore. I need to do X, Y, and Z.
Please. Yeah, I heard her response to that at the Tiki Bar. Dan, you got to get an effing job. That's what she
get
said.
Get off your ass, Dan. You lazy bastard.
Oh, Pat, it was a great time, man. You missed it.
I wish I was there, man. I was really feeling really miserable, man.
Oh, man.
Did you? What are you running here? Ubuntu?
No, it's Slackware.
It's Slackware. 11's almost out.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait, man. Slackware 11 is coming.
Now, Ubuntu had some problems this week with
some kind of X server, right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, that.
Now, I just read that last night.
I just updated before I came to the show. And it worked fine because they updated
it. But did you reboot?
No. Yeah, I rebooted, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I just read it last night before I was getting ready for bed that they had some kind of update about the X server.
Yeah.
And if you, on certain cards, if you get the update and then reboot, you end up back at a console and it just doesn't work. And they had some fix for it.
All those newbies. All those newbie Ubuntu people.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What is that?
And then, like, all I saw was just, like, you know, the header of that, and I got that much information out of it. And then I get into work today, right, on my Ubuntu machine, my workstation at work. There's the freaking Xorg server update. And I'm thinking to myself, okay,
no.
Maybe I'll just wait a day.
I saw that. I saw that yesterday.
I'll wait a day
and
for
I'm
them
like,
to fix it first, and
know,
then I'll do the update tomorrow.
I saw that yesterday popping up on my console because they have Adept, which is like the package updater. It popped up. I'm like, you know what? I don't need this. Leave it.
Yep. I said, I'll wait a day or so, and then I'll do the updates because then it'll be, you know, it won't
less
break
busy.
Anything,
yeah.
So.
I tell you what, though, man, the package manager with Kubuntu. On the AMD 64, man, even after I ran automatics where it updated all the sources and shit,
right.
It's so fast, man. I do app get update, it's like boom, like not even 10 seconds.
So how come you didn't try the 64-bit Slackware on there, man?
It's not official, though, isn't it? It's like a third-party kind of thing.
Well, no, it's not. Is it official? It might be official.
I don't think it's official.
Even if it's not, there's a lot of people that use it.
I want packages, man. For the most part, I'd say 98% of what you get on x86, you can get AMD 64 natively. It's just like those one or two programs that you need. You know, you have to either compile it or use the 32-bit version.
Right.
Like Flash?
Yeah, Flash. I run Firefox, the 32-bit version. I also got Opera, the 32-bit version installed. And I also have...
would you say 32-bit version of Apple?
Nah, no, Firefox. Firefox Opera.
Slam D64. That's what Ben is saying.
In Skype.
Leopard's going to be 64-bit capable.
Big whoop.
Thought you might like to know.
Oh, yeah. I'm running.
Ding, 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 ding.
One day you'll see the light, Pat.
It's really fast, man. I really like him, the AMD64, man. I did some audio files, man. I ripped a couple of the CDs and encoded them. And I also did my last Twat episode that went up today. Super fast, man, encoding, man. I couldn't believe how fast it was. Very impressed. Very happy, man. Noticeable difference. Like, boot ups into KDE, 20 seconds from start to finish, man.
Is that a 64-bit KDE?
Yeah. Everything's 64-bit for the most part. The vast majority of the programs I installed on there are all 64-bit, man. And I mean, the 32-bit programs, they coded originally to just recompile them in 64-bit mode. So I'm running like two or three different programs that are 32-bit applications, but everything else is 64-bit native. And it's sweet, man. This is my first AMD system, man. It's nice. You know, when it's booting up, you get the little message saying how hot the CPU is. It runs pretty cool, man, compared to an x86 Intel-based system.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Wouldn't it be cool by default when you were booting it
true,
up?
True, true. But there is system software monitoring.
Who gives a fuck how cold it is when you're booting it up? I want to know after you've been running it for like 6 hours.
It's definitely better than x86, man. It's noticeable. Like, even if you reboot it, you'll see it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you really like this machine so far, right?
Yeah, it's cheap, man. I put it together for like $200.
In your honest estimation, how long do you think you're going to have this machine until you decide to sell it?
At least a couple of years.
You really think
so? Just give me my workstation for the next
really?
Couple of years. Yeah.
You think so?
Get out of town, come on, man.
You mean you're not going to sell it like 3 months down the line for something else?
No, no.
You sure?
I don't sell shit.
You don't sell?
Give me a free. You sell everything you buy within a month.
I sell parts, man.
You're always selling something to buy something.
This is pretty hefty, man. I've got I got a gig of RAM. I got a 2 gigahertz processor, but it's an AMD 64 gig 2 gigahertz processor. And I got a 250 gig hard drive. I picked up a DVD drive for like $30.
It's only one processor?
Yeah, it's only one.
You sure you're not going to sell this thing for like a Core Duo sometime down the line?
Maybe in a couple of years I'll get a dual Opteron
Intel
motherboard.
Core Duo.
No, I think I will get a dual Opteron if I had the money.
Macintosh, Intel.
I get a new motherboard. I get a couple CPUs.
Brand new MacBook.
More memory. No Macs. No Macs. That's for you and Alan to go buy.
Dude, I would love to have one. I would love that. I cannot wait until like Ubuntu or something else gets their shit together with EMI or EFI bootloader. Like it'll boot right off the CD. EMI, EFI,
right,
CD.
Yeah, yeah.
Boot trade off has a bootloader, so you don't have to do all of that, you know, stupid,
hacks.
Funny shit hacking after you install it in order to get the right bootloader in there.
Bootcamp crap.
Yeah. And I expect that to happen, like starting with the next release of the big distributions. I expect them to have one that'll natively, you know,
DRM for everybody,
go right in there
friend.
On there. And
DRM all the way.
I cannot wait, man, because I really want to check out what... I mean, you know, macOS 10 is fine for what it is. I really want to check out a Linux on my Mac Mini. You know? And it's... Yes, EFI. Thank you, Gorkon. And I really want to check out Linux on my Mac Mini. And I've been just like jonesing over that the whole time I've had the thing. And I keep looking at these sites and they keep, you know, everybody's talking about, oh, when are they going to finally get the freaking... EFI support fixed for Linux and all this.
I had no problem installing Linux on mine.
Yeah, but you got to do boot camp, and then you have to do.
I didn't do boot camp.
You did do boot camp. You did boot camp first, and then you reinstall. But your boot camp puts firmware on your stuff.
No, I wiped it out.
Yeah, you wiped it out. But boot camp writes stuff into your firmware so that you can boot other operating systems.
Fuck Apple.
If you don't do boot camp first,
unless they want to become a sponsor of the show, then I'm happy with them.
You cannot boot CDs that are not EFI CDs. You can't do it.
If Apple wants to give us a couple $100 a month, man, they'll pay for our costs of the show. They're more than welcome to.
Oh no way!
Then I'll stop.
A couple $100 a month from Apple. Apple makes serious money. I want more than that. I'll
stop bitching about them.
I'll kiss some serious Apple ass, but they're going to have to really hook us up, man.
I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
Big time.
You turned that.
I like their hardware. No bones about it. I do like
a bunch of cocksuckers as a company when it comes to DRM and shit.
I have always liked their hardware, but they're only just a hair better than Windows when it comes to their software.
Not for long.
Because it's so closed and proprietary.
Because Vista's coming out, man. That's going to be the shit.
I mean, the only thing that they have going for them that makes them better than Windows is that they're not Windows.
You know, I can see Pat selling off all his computers just to buy a machine to run Vista.
Because, listen, man, Apple has Spaces now. Okay, this is very, very innovative software, man. Nowhere did that exist before where you had virtual desktops, man. You know, it was only until Apple came along and, like, showed us the way.
It may have existed before, but it didn't exist with quality.
Well, didn't you know that, all these
Apple quality.
These open source programs, like, Ping and shit like that, they didn't exist before Apple got hold of them either. You know?
Whose cell phone is too close to a...
My cell phone is off. I shut it off.
Alan.
Link, you don't have your phone on?
My cell phone is not even in the same room.
Link's is in his butt. It's on vibrate.
That's probably what it is.
He keeps calling it.
It's not my butt this way. It's been your butt that's vibrating all night long, Dad. Don't go blaming that on me, man.
Eating those bolognese, those fucking
pepper
bolognese.
That smell is not mine. That's yours and yours alone.
Oh. Thank God Dan sleeps with his windows open, man. That's all I have to say. They find him dead the next day.
Right, so what's going on with you? How come you guys can't ever answer any of my freaking email? You know, here's what the thing is, right? This is the rub I'm having.
Whoa. Who doesn't answer your email?
You don't, you cocksucker.
What are you talking about? You sent me email last night.
All this freaking email
that
I'm sending for these guys to find out.
When I wasn't even on the computer.
To find out what's going on.
What's going on?
Moving this stuff around on the server. And do you think that I could get Alan, Pat, or Dan to reply to me without me having to call them on the damn phone and tell them to read your email? No.
Dude, I told you last night when you called me, I hadn't been on the computer because I was working.
So, folks, you know what? You guys that listen to the high bitrate feed and want the BitTorrent feed, we still don't know who's going to do that yet.
Alan's
because the sons of bitches won't answer my email.
Alan's stepping up to the plate. Right, Alan?
Say again?
See, Alan's not even paying attention. Now he's picking his nose or something, man.
Step it up.
I was adjusting my air conditioning.
The problem with doing the torrent now is that if any one of us do the torrent from our account, it's going to kill our account.
No, I don't need you to do the torrent from your account. I need somebody to run a tracker.
Didn't someone offer to do a tracker for us a while back?
I need
University
someone,
of, what was it, Wisconsin?
I need somebody to run a damn tracker for us.
We should take them up on it, man.
We can put the file on our server.
Let's
but we need to have a tracker.
Let's do the University of Wisconsin, man.
Because I can't run a tracker on
somebody
our server.
Somebody from the IT department offered a few months ago
to
do this for us.
That ain't going to help by tomorrow morning, dude.
Oh, well, yeah. But going forward, it will help.
So I need that. That's what I need.
So we don't have an HBR this week. It saves me the time of having to do that.
Some bitches.
I got other things I need to do.
Scratch your ass.
The hell do you have left to do here? Man?
I gotta
know, really.
I gotta disassemble this
whole
room.
There's no freaking furniture in here. There's no,
I gotta disassemble all this shit tonight.
Why?
Because I gotta move it out of here for the rug.
You said they're not doing it until Monday.
Right, but I'm gonna be gone.
Well, holy crap, man.
All
it's
weekend.
Like, it's
driving down to Virginia.
Yet.
I'm going down to Virginia tomorrow night, and the last thing I want to do when I come back Sunday night is disassemble this entire room, so I got to do it tonight.
Oh, man.
It's a good thing I labeled all the...
Yes, label everything. Dan.
I labeled everything already.
I told you, you should just take all of this stuff and, put it on a table and move it down in your living room. And then when they come to show the house, just throw a sheet over it, man.
There you go.
Like, you know? Like, what are they going to care if there's one table with a sheet over it?
Seriously.
When they're showing the house.
You got the little 4-year-old kid looking underneath the sheet.
Yeah, big deal.
Probably a dead don't body under there.
Put a little sheet over it when they look at the house, when they're not looking at the house. Hey, you know, that's one less thing you don't have to move back in here, and it's one less thing you don't have to take apart and move out when you're getting
anything
ready to
leave. Anything on the frapper map?
Yeah. Who wants to do it? I don't have a computer, so one of you guys have to do it. We got actually got a bunch of them.
Frapper. We're starting to do that again.
Quite a few.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah, let us know.
Just pick it up,
we
man.
Got some good emails,
oh, yeah.
Too. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, keep it coming, man. That's pretty cool.
Got more feedback for the RSI episode.
Yeah, I like to hear the feedback. It's cool to hear that you guys are actually interested in some of the shit that we're talking about. And we get a lot of feedback for the RSI thing.
Yeah, actually, a lot of people were positive about it.
Yeah.
Even though people were bitching and goofing on it on the bulletin boards.
Well, I was bitching and goofing.
But yeah, but, you know, hey, listen.
Because you're a dick.
No, listen, man. Everyone's got their opinion.
Yeah, you're probably right. But
holy mackerel.
Lots,
what are we up to?
I don't know yet. It's not loaded in yet.
There's a count up top. Dum, usually it says how many.
Usually it's like... I'm up as high as it'll go.
They're trying to figure out how to use the freaking frapper.
It's Dan. He's clueless, man. That's what happens when you use an apple for too long. You become an idiot.
You show me
where the number is.
How do I do this?
Oh, there it is. 682 members.
There you go. Jeez. That's what happens when you use a simplified interface for too long. You become an idiot.
All right, we got Richard Colby from Layton, Utah.
I don't think it's something you
Gordon
become. I think
Cape
it's something
Town,
you're born with.
Western Cape, South Africa. Filth, spelled with a PH, from Belleville.
Speaking to the
you're
mic,
talking to the mic so we can hear you.
Yeah. David Shaw from Mildura, VLC, Australia. What is Victoria? Australia. Not a VLC. Tom Vine from Naperville, Illinois.
Naperville.
Naperville. Okay, whatever.
That's out of Chicago.
Brian Tyson from Greenville, South Carolina. Bob Evans.
Bob Evans.
Hey, he makes some really good sausage gravy, man.
Stowe, Massachusetts.
I'm all over that.
Peter Joels from Cape Town, Western Cape, South Africa.
We got a lot of South Africans lately.
Yes. Okay, here we go. Wadroke of the Wired, Conway, Arizona. All right. Tor Erling. Tor. From Oslo, Norway. Great. Pat from Hatfield, PA. Pat, what are you doing out there? Hatfield. Dean Harding from Geelong, Victoria, Australia.
I think we did this one last time.
We did?
Yeah, I think this is where
this
we
is
were.
Going. Okay, all right.
Hey, listen, if you're a new listener, go to the Frapper map, put yourself on there, give us a shout out. We'd like to see where you're coming from.
Yeah. If you're an old listener, you know, hey, send us some emails once in a while. Tell us what
Vine.
You think.
Tom Vine. TGV. These fonts are too small. Spent 3 years in Allentown. Thank you for the experience. And the short worm Javits Center trip. Nothing in
the
this
infamous,
area compares
the infamous
to the
stripper.
LV lug nor the SIG wink. You guys rule.
The infamous stripper van going to the Linux World Expo.
Yeah.
At the Javits Center in New York City.
Yes.
With the Dakota kick in the
bar. Did Tom go with us?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, of course he did. I remember that.
Yeah, he did, man.
Tom Vine?
That last year, we were drinking at like 8 o'clock in the morning. We were sucking them down, man.
You remember where we all froze to death because the van broke down?
Yeah, the heater died.
No,
50 below zero
that.
In the middle of fucking highway. Drinking beers.
Only thing we had to keep us warm was each other and a bunch of Dakota kick.
Good times, yes. Man. Good times.
All right, I gotta play us out of here.
Yum, yum.
Because we're cutting off of Ben Rev, so... here's another right. Jonathan Colton song. You
before we go,
everything.
Next week we
good
got
night, Ben Rev.
No, go ahead.
Next week we got Chess Griffin and Dave Yates coming on. Should be a good episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lots of fun.
That'd
come
be
join.
Real fun. Yeah.
All right.
Come hear us harass them next week. 155.
Tear Dave a new asshole.
Dave, don't be nervous. We love you.
He better be nervous. No.
They can't hide behind the podcast shield.
That's right.
This is live, baby.
None of that. None of that. Oops! I better edit that sneeze out thing. None of that happens
belching
here.
Farting on mic.
That's right.
All right, here it is. You ruined everything. myself good night, all.
Good night.
Just in time. Throw myself away. Once my perfect world was gone, I knew you ruined everything in the nicest way. You should know how great things were before you. Even so, the better still today. I can't think of who I was before you ruined everything in the nicest way. Bumps in the road remind us the worst of the best behind us. Only good things will find us, me and you. Days will be clear and sunny. We're la, gonna la, la, la. Need more money. La, baby, la, la, la. You know it's funny. All those stories coming true. Despite my better efforts, it's all for you. Kind of cliche. I'll be with you till the day you leave. You ruined everything in the nicest way.
Like,
I like tater tots.
I'm really liking this.
Listen, if you ever get in my way again next time, I really will kill you. I'd like to see you try it, you lame excuse for a half dog. Pardon?
Inuyasha, sit.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass
tongue brush?
Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up. It's over.